Vidura uvacha.
Vidura said,
Ye,
those who,
Vaya,
by you,
Abhitaha,
were spoken about,
Brahman,
O Brahmana,
Sutaha,
sons,
Prachinabarhishaha,
of King Prachinabarhi,
Te,
all of them,
Rudra Gitena,
by the song composed by Lord Shiva.
Harim,
the Lord,
Siddhim,
success,
Apuhu,
achieved,
Pratoshya,
having satisfied,
Kam,
what? Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O Brahmana, you formerly spoke about the sons of Prachinabarhi and informed me that they satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting a song composed by Lord Shiva. What did they achieve in this way? Purport. In the beginning, Maitreya Rishi narrated the activities of the sons of Prachinabarhi. These sons went beside a great lake which was like an ocean. Unfortunately, finding Lord Shiva, they learned how to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting the songs composed by Lord Shiva. Now their father's attachment for fruitive activities was disapproved by Narada, who therefore kindly instructed Prachinabarhi by telling him the allegorical story of Puranjana. Now Vidura again wanted to hear about Prachinabarhi's sons, and he was especially inquisitive to know what they achieved by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here the words Siddhim Apuhu, or achieved perfection, are very important. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschit Yathati Siddhaye, out of many, many millions of people, one may be interested in learning how to attain success in spiritual matters. The supreme success is mentioned also in Bhagavad Gita 8.15. Mamapetya punarjanma dukhalayam ashashvatam napnubanti mahatmanah samsiddhim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. And what is that highest perfection? That is also explained in that verse. The highest perfection is to return home back to Godhead, so that one will not have to return to this material world and transmigrate from one body to another in the dream of material existence. By the grace of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas actually attained perfection and returned home, back to Godhead, after enjoying material facilities to the highest extent. Maitreya will now narrate that to Vidura. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuh Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganara Gunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate
కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి శ్రీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర్భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
హరే కృష్ణ. Right at the outset, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here, specifically many of the senior leaders of Juhu temple, to bless me to speak some words of wisdom that will benefit me by purifying my heart, and also it may benefit others by giving them the relish and joy of hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord and His devotees that is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam. We are beginning this new chapter today called the activities of the Prachetas. There is one key word in this shloka, Siddhimapuhu. What success did they achieve? Vidura is asking to Maitreya that you were telling me about the sons of Prachina Barhishad. And you also said that they came across Lord Shiva when they entered the forest, and then they practiced penances. So what success did they achieve by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is a very important question. In the Vedic life, the birth and death are not very important. But how a person lives his life and what destination did he attain, these two are very important. If you read Lord Kapila's section in the third canto, he speaks a lot about before birth and after death. The Vedic life teaches us to perform sanskaras, purificatory ceremonies, even before birth. What is the sanskar we do before birth? The garbhadhan sanskar. And what is the sanskar we do after death? Antyeshti. So, the Vedic life teaches a person how the life after death, the destination that we achieve, is very important. Like one time, when one of the rishis was passing through the forest along with Lord Ram, and he saw some ghosts were hanging upside down in the trees. And when he inquired about them, who they were, they were his ancestors who had become ghosts because of having performed sinful activities. They could not get deliverance. So later on he performed some purificatory ceremonies to liberate them, purify them and send them to higher planets. So we find that in Vedic life, the Pindada Kriya or the for the deliverance of the forefather, there were pujas done by the people who come in the family later, as sons and grandsons, isn't it? Because people are very much worried about the gati. Like you see, Arjuna is talking in Bhagavad Gita, Lupta Pindo Daka Kriyaha. If all the men die in the battle, then who will do the purificatory ceremony for them to be delivered? So, where a person goes after death is very important. Is he going to be a ghost? Is he going to hellish planets? Is he going to heavenly planets? Or did he achieve impersonal liberation? Or did you achieve the fountainhead of all liberties? Prabhupada uses this word in first canto. Fountainhead of all liberties. What is it? Attaining spiritual world. Attaining the kingdom of God. Back home, back to Godhead. So this destination is very important. Gati. Actually, for all living entities, Krishna is the pati. That is why he is the ultimate gati. And if you engage our mati in him, then we can get rati. What is mati? Mati is intelligence. If you engage our intelligence in understanding Krishna and his relationship with the devotees, and try to understand the sweet relationship between Krishna and his devotees, then we can awaken that rati, the love for God. And Krishna is called as Satvatam Pati, Dhyam Pati, Shreya Pati, Yajna Pati. All this, he is the Pati for everything. He is the master for everything. When we perform Yajna, he is the Yajna Pati. So he is the Pati of our intelligence also. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Yenamam Piyantite. He gives the intelligence to a sincere devotee, how to return back to him. So he is called as Dhyam Pati also. Matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He gives the intelligence by which we can understand him to some degree and attain the shelter of his lotus feet. So, that is the ultimate shelter to be attained. The association of the Lord and his devotees for all time. That is why Parikshit Maharaj, he asked for three boons. Please bless me that I will attain the friendship with all living entities, association of Vaishnavas, and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very nice benedictions he asked for. So, if one can attain these three things, he can be happy in this world and in the next world. If you have friendship with all living entities in this world, you won't have quarrel with anybody. And if you have association of devotees, you will develop a firm faith in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And if you attain love for Krishna, there is nothing more to be attained. Because love for Krishna will bring opportunity for rendering service to Krishna. You can offer service to Krishna eternally. There is nothing more to be attained than love. Vishnachakriti Thakur says, I was reading a purport from the 11th canto. He says, when a living entity who is like a child offers his love to Krishna from his heart, then how Krishna reciprocates? He gives an example. He says, sometimes a man may be in the embrace of his sweetheart, of his wife. He may be in the embrace of the hands of his wife. But when a child is picking some rice or something from his plate and giving it to father with love, then the father releases himself from the hands of his wife and extends his arms to receive it from the child. Similarly, although Lakshmi is a great devotee of Lord Narayana, still when any of his devotees render service to him in love, Lord Narayana, you know, he comes rushing to that living being to receive that bhakti, he says. So that is why sometimes it is said, Lord Vishnu says to Uddhava, Lord Krishna is telling to Uddhava, you are more dear to me than even Lakshmi also, even Brahma also, Shiva also. You are more dear to me. That's why the Lord tells the living entity, the devotee, that you are more dear to me than even Goddess of Fortune. In this way, generally the living beings in this world, they are chasing after suffering, which appears in the shape of material enjoyment. Another synonym for material enjoyment is suffering. Because all the material objects of this world are pregnant with suffering. As soon as you touch them, they will deliver you suffering. Immediately. That's why so-called material enjoyment, that is only suffering in this world. But foolish living beings chase after that. And more foolish is to chase after the material enjoyment by one's own endeavor without taking shelter of demigods or taking shelter of Krishna, thinking oneself to be the supreme controller, all in all and autonomous. That is even more utter foolishness. But those who are little wiser than the first category are the people who go to devatas, seeking material enjoyment. Better than them are those who go to Krishna for material enjoyment. akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi, it is said. But better than those who seek material enjoyment from Krishna, are those who are eager to know about Krishna. They are inquisitive about Krishna. They want to know how Krishna created this world. How can one become liberated from all sufferings in this world? Who is Krishna? They want to know more about Him. That's why in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives knowledge of His vibhutis, opulences and everything. And better than them are those who learn to love Krishna instead of spending all their time only knowing Him. But better than those who love Krishna are those who are eager to serve Him. Because the Vrijabhasi's purpose says they don't care about their own love for Krishna. When Uddhava is glorifying the gopis, oh Vrijabhasi's, how great is your love for Krishna. Even Brahma and Shiva have not achieved such love. When I am speaking the glories of Krishna, you all are getting such lila spurti that you are losing control of your body and you are practically demonstrating the pastimes of Krishna. Who can achieve such love for Krishna? And Vrijabhasis are saying, don't talk about our love for Krishna. You have not come here to glorify us. You tell us about Krishna more. Tell us how we can serve Krishna. So Vrijabhasis are more interested in serving Krishna. Like, see, when Raktak is fanning Krishna, when tears come in his eyes, he is telling, why these tears are blocking my vision of Krishna? And why is it stopping my service to Krishna? So, service to Krishna is the ultimate achievement. There is nothing more to be achieved than that. So, naturally, one who loves Krishna will eventually engage in his service. In this way, there are higher and higher platforms to be achieved. That's why he is asking, Harim Siddhi Mapuhu. What perfection did they achieve? He is asking. So, I was telling in the beginning that our birth and death are not very important, but how we spend our time, duration, in the human form of life in this world, that is very important. See, human body is called as a fat gift of Krishna. What is this fat gift? It's a facility, ability, allotted with some time. What are the facilities in the human body? That is explained. Niradehamadhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam gurukarnadharam mayanakulena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim nataretsa atmaha. It is said, in the human body, there are three facilities. There is guru, sadhu and shastra. Guru becomes meaningful only in a human body, not an animal body. Similarly, the shastra also. Shastra has become relevant only in a human body. Like, you know, one Russian devotee was walking in Mayapur. There was a board put up in Bengali language. You see, in Mayapur, if you go, everything is in Bengali, like jalebis. You don't understand what it is. Generally, it is written in Bengali language only. So he used to see a board every day. That board was not important for him, nor did he endeavor to know what it was. But one day when he was walking, suddenly he got a pressure in the bladder. And he had to pass water very quickly somewhere. So I asked one Bengali boy, what is it? Please tell me, what is written on the board? He says, written, Sulabha Shauchalai. Immediately ran inside. It's written, it's for passing water. Then he went. So that board became relevant to him on that particular day. Similarly, when we get a human body, the shastras become relevant to us. As animals, you know, if you give a donkey a Bhagavad Gita, you know, he may just eat it. He doesn't know anything beyond. Or if you give a Bhagavad Gita to a printing press wala, he may be checking the size of paper and the, you know, font in which you have printed. You know, he is not going to bother much about the content of the book or the meaning of the content. So, in human body, the shastras become relevant. So it's a facility, guru, sadhu and shastra. And what is the ability we have? We have the intelligence, with which we can discriminate what is right, wrong, what is good, bad, what is shreyas, prayas, We have the special intelligence. We have the tongue with which we can chant the holy names. Ordinary creatures cannot chant the holy name. We have the determination arising from intelligence with which we can take vows that I will chant 16 rounds, I will follow Ekadashi Vrata. We can take vows. Like you see in Kumbh Mela, sometimes there are 3-4 crores of people coming. How many dogs and cats come there? Only humans come. So in human body we can take vows. That is why when Prachetas were told to get married and beget children, where did they go? Did they go to internet to check shadi.com or something? What they did? They went to forest. Why are you going to forest to get married? Yes, first one has to go to forest, control one's mind and senses, purify them, and then one can enter into grihastha ashrama if one wants. That is why jitendriyasyatmarater buddhasya grihashtamahkimnu karotyavadyam. Like that Brahma asked the Priyavrata. 3 qualifications he said for entering into grihastha ashram. You have to be a jitendriya, you have to be atmarati, and you have to be a buddha. Jitendriya means one who has controlled his senses. Self-control. Atmarati means one who is always delighting in the culture of spiritual life. Buddha means one who is spiritually awakened, intelligent. Not to get trapped by Maya, but one who is intelligent to know how to walk in this world, carrying his mind and senses and not get entangled in this world. He is wise, he is awakened person. So, we need these qualifications before one can enter into grihastha ashrama, he said. That is why the Prachetas went into forest to perform penances. In those days, anybody was told to do any great task, first they would do penances, austerities. They would become purified. Then you can achieve great things in life. You know the reason why they are doing this? Because our mind is always diffused. Diffused means it's wandering in all directions. Like the sunlight is diffused. You put a paper on the top of this building, the sun cannot burn the paper. But even if you keep a paper here with a focused lens, it can burn the paper. Why? Because the diffused sun rays can be collected in a magnifying glass and focused at a focal point in a concentrated way, then it can burn a paper. This is the purpose of penance and austerities, that we have to collect all of our diffused mind flowing in all directions and learn to focus it in such a way that we focus it at a singular point for achieving a singular goal. Then one can achieve it. Like Dhruva Maharaj was interested to get a kingdom greater than his grandfather. And then he went to forest, he performed Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, chanted, he performed severe austerities. And the result was, Lord Vishnu became pleased. He gave his darshan and he gave bhakti also, and he gave him all that he wanted, he gave him. Like here it is said, towards the end of this purport, he says here, after enjoying material facilities to the highest extent, he says, Prachetas went back to Godhead. Actually, a pure devotee is endowed with all material facilities, although he is not dependent on them for his enjoyment. His enjoyment comes from loving devotional service to Krishna. Whereas, he is provided all material enjoyment, like Ambarish Maharaj had all best material facilities. He was not attached to them. There's a long list given there. Ambarish Maharaj had elephants and horses and chariots and gold and silver and diamonds and ministers and servants, thousands of servants and huge palaces and everything. At the end it says, although he had all these things, he was not attached to any of them, nor did his happiness come from them. They just existed inconsequentially. They just existed. They didn't affect him. His love was only meant for Krishna. Like that, Prachetas also achieved all mental enjoyment. But that was not their goal. That was like a byproduct, corollary, byproduct benefit they got. That's how Krishna gives also. And Lord Vishnu purified Dhruva's heart, knew that he will not get entangled materially. Then he gave him all material facilities. Take it now. It won't do any harm to you. So, that's the first one, the facility and the ability and awarded along with some period of time. Just see how wonderful it is that 60, 70, 80 years of penance you do, the result of which you get eternal life in the spiritual world. Is it not a wonderful deal? It's like giving some 80 paisa, 60 paisa to somebody and getting some 1 crore rupees in return. Is it not? If somebody tells you, how easy it is. You see? So, on the other hand, if somebody spends this entire life spending 60, 80 years working hard like a donkey, ignoring spiritual life, saying that I have no time for God, I am too busy, and the result is birth after birth after birth, one has to suffer old age, disease and death. That is why the human body is a very special gift given to us for performing penances. And what is the result of penance? Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shuddhye tasma dhamma saukyam tu anantam. Rishabhadev told his sons that perform penance, but he said divya tapa you do. See, Indian body is made for tapasya. You will see any Indian, if he is in the platform, railway platform, if train is going to be late, they will just put their cloth and lie down. They have no problem. In the train also, if you didn't get a reserved seat, no problem. You can put a cloth down and lie on the floor in the train. You have seen people doing that? Yeah, Indians are used to it. They have no problem at all. I have seen when I was traveling across the globe, other countries, people feel a little shy to sit on the floor directly. They would stand for 4 hours also, but they won't sit. But Indian body is made in such a way that Indians don't care for these things. Yeah, and India has quite a bit of heat, high temperature. We can withstand temperature. We can tolerate some of the most difficult things. You have seen, if you want to drive a scooter, it is not getting on. What do? Every Indian knows. You just bend the scooter, isn't it? And this man must have done thousands of times in his life. And he'll keep doing the same thing. And he doesn't mind it, isn't it? Similarly, if a fan doesn't work in a train, you know what to do. Take your comb, just move it and then it'll start rotating. So Indians are very tolerant. Their body is tenacious. They have a lot of tapasya doing ability. But what are they doing? They are going to America and working hard to make money. When I was in Seattle, traveling with one man from Microsoft, he was selling in the car, Indians are cheap labor for Americans. They work very hard and they are very tolerant and very humble. They don't shout, they don't argue. They are considered the best employees in Microsoft, he was selling. So Indians are applying their humility, tolerance, simplicity and sage-like nature for serving Microsoft, not for serving Krishna. So, tapo divyam, it is said. Yes, you should do tapasya, not for just filling a pocket with money, which is going to be burnt along with the body. Nothing is going to come. So, one should do divya tapasya, he says. Tapo divyam, putraka, yena sattvam shuddhyet. If you do divya tapasya, you will become shuddhyet. And the result of shuddhyet is, you will attain sattvam, sattva guna. And placing in sattva, then what will happen? Brahma saukhyam. You will get spiritual bliss. Anantam, unending, he says. Unending spiritual bliss you can get. So, this is actually the goal of tapasya, performing tapasya. Now, an amazing fact you will read in this Pracheta section. When Brahma came to Hiranyakashipu, he glorified Hiranyakashipu for his tapasya. He told Hiranyakashipu, "Hey, Hiranyakashipu, even along with me, right now, Bhrigu Muni has come. And many other sages and saints and demigods are accompanying me when I was searching for you in this jungle. Because you are performing such severe penance, your body became eaten by ants and moths. And it has become covered by grasses and sand. Ant hills have formed on your body. Nobody could locate you. I took my kamandalu and I sprinkled water and then you could come out of the ant hill. We have performed such severe penance without any water or food or anything else for the 100 celestial years. Even Bhrigu, who is accompanying me, even he has no ability to perform penance like you. Congratulations," he said. "I appreciate you for your penance. And darshanam nafalam mama," he said. "Because you have invited me to come, I have come now. And my audience with you will not go in vain. I am also no less. Just like you perform severe penance, I am also a great soul. I can give you any benediction you want. So the demigods generally give benedictions to their followers based on the worship done by their followers, but demigods have a jurisdiction beyond which they cannot give. But here you find in this chapter, Lord Vishnu is coming with 8 hands. Generally Vishnu you find with 4 hands. In this chapter you'll find Vishnu also holding a bow and arrow. You'll find also his 8 hands appears with a very beautiful form on the back of Garuda. He appears and Prachetas will be emerging out of the waters. They also performed 10,000 years severe penance. And after that severe penance, when they emerged out and they saw Lord Vishnu, they became very pleased. And Lord Vishnu did not appreciate their penance separately at all. There is not one verse there where Vishnu says, I appreciate your austerities that you have done for me. No, he doesn't tell them. The very first verse Lord Vishnu speaks to them, Varam vrinidvam bhadrambo yatyuyam dharmanandana sauhardena pritak dharmaha tushtoham sauhrudena vaha. He is telling, my dear Prachetas, I am most pleased with your friendly behavior towards one another. And all of you have been extending devotional service to me under the guidance of Lord Shiva. But what I am most satisfied with your devotional service is that all 10 of you, you have remained united with one another in performing bhakti for me. This is what pleases me the most. And 3 times he used the word sauhruda, sauhruda, sauhruda in the same verse. 3 times he uses the same word. Now, your friendly behavior towards one another and cooperative attitude is what pleases my heart the most. But he did not mention that your 10,000 years of penance underwater, that pleases me the most. He did not say. Although Lord must have become pleased with their penance also, but that was a secondary thing for him. Far more important than the penance underwater for him was what? You know, their unitedly performed devotional service. That's what Lord appreciates in this chapter, you will see. So, you find there are many sages and saints living in Himalayas. Everybody sits under different trees. And everybody has his kamandalu, everybody has his stick. They are sitting under different trees. So, they don't have to come together with one another. Nor can they ever come together. If they come together, there will be a big quarrel. Because everyone is a mental speculator, muni. The definition of a muni means everybody has his own idea of what spiritual life is. And they are surely going to quarrel if they come together. But bhakta, amongst the bhaktas, they have no quarrel. Why? Because they are nirmatsarana. They are non-envious of one another. And if there is a quarrel amongst devotees and non-cooperation amongst devotees, that is a result of envy. As Prabhupada explains in 1.1.2. In 1.1.2, Prabhupada says, there is a quarrel between animal and animal, man and man, and one nation and another nation. He says, why such kind of quarrel exists? He says that on a material platform, people make individual circles. I and my body and my family and my state and my country or my group. And then they quarrel with people of other group. Actually, we try to gather allies and fight with the enemies. That is material world. We sort the whole world as friends and enemies. And we make allies with the friends. And we try to protest against enemies. And whole life goes in that. And in this way, there are splinter groups. You know, within our society, even within temples, even within states, we can find it everywhere, within organizations. So, is group bad? Group is not bad. Even in spiritual world, there are groups. There is Chandravali's group, there is Radharani's group. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while the Ratayatra was going on, he made 7 groups of devotees, isn't it? 1 behind and 2 on the side and the 4 in the front and all that. He made groups of devotees. For each group, he chose the leader. He chose the dancer. He chose the singer. He chose people like that. So there's nothing wrong with the groups as long as all the members have love and respect for one another and they value each other's ideas also. You will find in the first canto, when Bhima saw Ashwatthama, he became restless. He wanted to kill him on the spot. But then Krishna told Bhima, wait a minute, let Arjuna decide. He has brought him here. So he asked Draupadi and Yudhishthir, should we kill him now or not? Yudhishthir and Draupadi took one side. Bhima and Krishna took the other side. Bhima and Krishna said, kill him. Draupadi and Yudhishthir said, don't kill him. And Arjuna was confused which one to follow. And Krishna said, make a decision which will satisfy both the parties. So what did Arjuna do, you know? He cut off the jewel from his head. But before doing that, Bhima was becoming restless also. In fact, Bhima was about to pounce upon Ashwatthama and kill him. And Krishna expanded two extra arms and he caught hold of Bhima. So that Bhima will not, again he pulled him back. But one amazing fact you will see in that section, you never find Bhima taunting Draupadi, saying that you sentimental, foolish, unintelligent woman, like that he doesn't tell about Draupadi. Nor do you find Draupadi looking at Bhima and gritting her teeth, biting her lips, you know, shouting at Bhima, you barbaric, ruthless, untethered animal, you know. She doesn't say like that. Now, how can you behave with him like this? She doesn't say. You will see Draupadi tells her, you know, her philosophy very politely in a few words. She says, this fellow is our guru's son, you know, and I don't want Kripi to weep like I am weeping. You know, I am a female, I can understand the heart of another female. So I don't want her to cry by loss of her son, you know. I feel that he should not be killed. So they all present their viewpoints very politely, peacefully, without developing any vengeful attitude towards the other people. And this is the meaning of cooperation actually. It is not wrong to have different opinion. But the differences in opinion have to be expressed in a very dignified way. And the dignified way is possible only when we love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we don't love the Supreme Lord, we cannot love His children. It's not possible. Loving the children of God without love for God is a mundane philosophy. And that philosophy will not work for a long time. Actually, the love for Lord expands as love for His living entities. Some people say they love Krishna very much, but they don't love the devotees. Imagine, for example, you say you love a millionaire very much because he gives very nice donations. But you give a big slap to his son. Yours, eh? Give him. Is he going to spare you so easily? And he will give one back. Is it not true? So, one cannot say that I love God, but I don't love his children. I don't love his devotees. That is a Kanishta Bhakti. Kanishta Bhakti means one doesn't know anything beyond the deity. One doesn't know the value of devotees. One doesn't respect the devotees. So, here, Prachetas are able to stay with each other because they have respect for each other. Mutual respect for each other. When mutual respect is lost, then one gets uncontrolled tongue. And then that uncontrolled tongue creates cleavage between devotees. And that cleavage between devotees makes everybody become polarized and lonely and think I am a great devotee with no connection with any other devotee. And so people may perform severe austerities also like Prachetas did. Of course, nobody can imitate Prachetas. They did 10,000 years underwater penance. No Kaliyuga Vasti can imitate that. But even if somebody does some kind of austerity similar to like 1/1,000,000th of the proportion of Prachetas, that austerity, how it should be performed, that is very important to know. The mood and the motivation in austerity is very important. You see, I had asked my spiritual master a question that Mahaprabhura Bhaktagan Vairagya Pradhan Iha Deki Prita Haya Gaura Bhagavan. That is a verse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased with the austerities performed by his devotees. Pritahaya means Lord becomes very pleased. Vairagya Pradhan, it is said. He taught Vairagya, detachment from all that is material, detachment from anything that takes us away from Krishna. So I asked my spiritual master this question, that why is Mahaprabhu emphasizing on austerity? And on a practical level, we find Raghunath Das Goswami and all the Goswamis living under different trees, especially Raghunath Das Goswami performing austerity. And Lord, Haridas Thakur chanting 3 lakh names, not even willing to eat prasadam, before he completed the chanting and all that. So, I was asking, it seems that Mahaprabhu has emphasized a lot on austerities and we are not emphasizing enough. Is it true? I asked him. So, he told me something very valuable for me. I have preserved it like a diamond in my heart. And after that, I had a great change of heart and change of outlook to austerity. So, he said, the mood in which the Goswamis performed austerities. He said they were very, very humble. They were never proud of their austerities at all. Nor did they go around advertising their austerity to other people to know, to broadcast their own glories. They never did that. He said their mood was one of humility. You find when Raghunath Das was eating those Tailanga cows left remnants of food, when he was eating that, did he go and broadcast it anywhere? These are the austerities I have done. He didn't put it in the internet, surely. Isn't it? These are the austerities that I am doing. He didn't broadcast it. So he did it very privately and it was detected by Swarup Damodar and subsequently by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Similarly, the Goswamis are living under one tree every night, living very simple lives. So the purpose of their performing austerity, the motivation was to intensify their bhakti. To intensify the devotional service. They felt we are not doing enough. This is one amazing concept, amazing principle you see in all great Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada, in his last days when he was lying in the bed, they were dripping milk in the mouth and he was continuing to speak the purports. Everything is working and acting under the direction of Krishna. And then he would get one drop of milk inside. He was preaching about Krishna consciousness. Somebody may say, why this Swamiji is taking so much trouble? Already he has made 108 centers now. There are thousands of devotees around the world. And he has written most part of the Bhagavatam. Enough is enough. Now let him take a break and relax and take leave. People may say like that. But a Vaishnava feels, no, I have not done enough. Similarly, Sanatana Goswami is performing severe austerities, going around the Govardhan Hill. In his old age, his hands and legs trembling. And Krishna personally comes to hand him over one Govardhan Shila and told him that you circumambulate this 4 times, it's equivalent to going around the Govardhan Hill. So the great Vaishnavas, you will find they are very eager for performing austerities, not for any advertisement, but for pleasing Krishna, for intensifying the devotional service. They have no other motivation. This is one important thing. Another thing, their mood is one of humility and their motivation is to intensify devotional service and please Krishna. Another important thing with austerity, the result of the austerity has to be seen. If the result of austerity is quarrel with devotees, if the result of my austerity is false pride, and if it distances me from devotees, then what is the use of that austerity? The fruit of austerity is softening of the heart. If the softening of the heart doesn't take place, that is why it is said Lord Shiva resides in the heart of the ascetics, the 11th Rudra. There are 11 Rudras, no? The 11th Rudra was given a place in the heart of the mystics. So those mystics who perform material austerities with material determination, their heart will be occupied by Shiva, who arouses passion and anger in the heart of those personalities. Like here you will find Prachetas, when they came out of the waters, they burnt the trees, the huge trees, jungle, with an anger. So they emanated fire from their mouth and they burnt. Yes, it is true, they became angry, but you find Dhruva Maharaj angry with the Yakshas, you find that. But the end result is always a very happy ending, you will see. Dhruva Maharaj went back home, back to Godhead. Similarly, Prachetas, you find they also went back home, back to Godhead. Here Brahma came and pacified them. There Swayambhu Muni came and pacified them. But you find they are completely submissive to the Lord and His supreme devotees. Like Brahma and Swayambhu Muni and such people like that. Because when we are living in this world, there is always a possibility of slipping and falling down, even in a very advanced stage. Like Bharat Maharaj was having tears in his eyes when he was thinking of Krishna. But he, unfortunately, he got entangled in the... Prabhupada says his compassion was material compassion. But then his bhakti was preserved in the deer's body and Jadabharata's body, and then he went back to Godhead subsequently. So, in this world, any time, Prabhupada says, even on a royal road, there can be accidents, he says. But still, if a devotee has performed devotion service with utmost care and caution, such austerities have to be performed for the pleasure of the Lord. You read the Prithu section. Prithu put five types of fires around his body. Four fires and sun from the top. So when I was seeing that, I was a little shocked when I read that verse. Why Prithu is doing such things? Is he a Vaishnava or is he some Jnani type person? Or is he some impersonalist? But immediately the next verse says, that Prithu performed all these penances for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna Aradhi, like that, there's the verse. Krishna Aradhana is used in the next verse. The word Krishna is used there in Prithu section. For Krishna's pleasure, he performed these austerities. For no other purpose, not for getting name and fame, he says. So, these prachitas, although they had anger towards the trees, but they still could cooperate with Vaishnavas, with all the other fellow Vaishnavas. Because they understood, if we don't cooperatively exist with one another, the Supreme Lord will be unhappy with us, displeased. And exactly what they thought was true. When Lord Vishnu came, he congratulated them not for their austerities, but for their cooperation with one another. So, this is a very instructive, valuable lesson. Siddhi Mapuhu, what Siddhi they achieved? If you ask, the answer could be given. They achieved the Siddhi of having friendship with, other Vaishnavas who were all of different natures. And every Vaishnava has different opinions and different ideas of doing things, but they could coexist with them. That is the greatest Siddhi they achieved. Because if you have to go to spiritual world, if you are going to have quarrel there, you will be sent back. Is it not true? And Krishna is going to ask Maya Devi, how did you let this fellow come in? He's quarreling with so many people. So, Maya is the person who screens people and sends them in. So, they achieved the kingdom of God, but achieving kingdom of God is not like some kind of writing a 10th standard exam and getting a distinction or something. Actually, we have to develop the qualities necessary to enter the spiritual world. Prabhupada says, if you have to enter fire, you have to have a fiery body. With this body, if you enter fire, you will get burnt out. Isn't it? Similarly, to enter the spiritual world, we have to have qualities similar to that of Krishna. How Krishna deals with all kinds of different living entities. Understanding their mentalities, understanding their natures. In the same manner, the Vaishnava qualities have to be achieved before one can enter into the spiritual sky. So, the prachetas achieved that ultimate goal, which is actually to please the Supreme Lord. They could please Him. Because Lord Himself says, Tushtoham Sauhurdena Vaha, I am pleased with you, my dear sons of Prachina Barhi. Lord is telling them. So, the fruit of austerity should not be forgotten. The fruit of austerity is to get a heart that is full of love for Lord and His devotees. That is the actual fruit of austerity. So to summarize my points, because I have spoken too many things, in order to bring a focus towards the end of the talk, I will summarize the points. One of the first things I said was that the human body is a very rare gift. It offers its facility, ability with some time, and it should be utilized for the purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. So that was one of the first things we said. Second thing we were talking about was the penances and austerities are to be performed if one wants to purify the heart. Because if heart is not purified, if senses are not controlled, If intelligence is not focused, no one can achieve anything great in life. That is why in the Vedic times, anybody who wants to achieve anything great in life, be it material, be it spiritual, they will go to the forest, perform meditation, penance, austerities, purify the heart, focus the intelligence. Then only you can achieve something great in life. So that was the second thing we said. Along with that, we discussed about how people do austerity for mundane purposes. We should do it for tapodivyam, and the result is Brahma Saukhyam, eternal spiritual bliss. We spoke about that, about austerities. And then we were talking about the friendliness between the prachetas. So one may perform many austerities and penances, but if one cannot cooperate with other Vaishnavas, one quarrels with others, one remains like a yogi in the Himalayan jungle, then such kind of devotional service is not pleasing to the Supreme Lord. We all have juniors, we have equals, we have seniors. When there is mutual respect, then only two things, mutual respect and non-envy. You see, there is a verse, mitakkali rabutte sham tadarte tarsha chetasam aham puram natvam natvam iti prabho. This verse comes in the Mohini Murti section. The asuras were saying, natvam natvam aham puram, I first, not you, not you. They were telling the other asuras while carrying the kalash of Amrita kalash away from Dhanvantri when they were running. And you find a similar verse when cowherd boys were running behind Krishna to catch Krishna. Aham puram, they told the other cowherd boys, I will touch Krishna first, I will touch Krishna first. They were all running towards Krishna. Although they both look alike, the words are same, aham puram, but the attitude is different. The attitude of demons was, selfishly they wanted to enjoy and not give anything to anybody. I want to enjoy and everyone else suffer. That is their mentality. But what was the mentality of the cowherd boys? I want to run and endeavor to touch Krishna first, so that you will be inspired to run and touch Krishna first. If you touch Krishna first, that wouldn't cause me any sorrow, because that's what I wanted to happen. In my course of doing some wonderful service to Krishna, I want to inspire you to do better than me. And I know very well that you will try to do better than me, not out of envy for me, but in order to inspire me to do better than you. This is actually the motive mood of a devotee. So there is no envious competition amongst devotees. Prabhupada says spiritual world is a competition-less world with Krishna in the center. In the 1.1.2, Prabhupada says that. So we spoke about the friendliness between devotees. Actually, we have to appreciate and admire the different qualities and special skills and abilities in devotees, understanding everybody to be a determined servant of Krishna. We should have appreciation for every devotee. So, and towards the end, we spoke about, of course, I spoke about Draupadi and Bhima relationship, how they had mutual respect for each other, although they had divided opinions. And then later we spoke about the austerities, the mood and the motivation. The mood of the austerity is humility, and the motivation behind the austerity is intensifying our devotional service and pleasing Krishna and devotees. And there should not be any material motivation behind austerities. And we said that prachetas achieved success because Lord Vishnu was pleased with them. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have a couple of minutes. Yes, Devakiran Prabhu, you would like to comment? Please give the mic to him.
I have a comment and question.
Yes, sir.
Which one should I do?
You give comment, please.
Well, that Sulabh Shauchalaya became relevant when that person had the need. Although it was there, it was written, he could not understand. But the two things became, it became relevant when he had need, and there are person who can say what is written there. So two was required. Same way, everything is there in the scripture. But till we feel the need, you know, had to need, had to be there. That is called, you know, people they easily cheaply they say, bhukhe bhajan nahi hai gopala le lo apni kanthi mala. So till we have hunger, bhuk, or bhakti.
Bhakti hunger, yeah.
We have to have hunger for the bhakti. That becomes the need. And then a spiritual master or Vaishnava had to be there who can read out a scripture, who can explain the scripture. Then our anxiety, our trouble, our problem will go away. Like he had to go to bathroom and he felt relief after that. So that was my comment.
Thank you. We have our Atul Krishna Prabhu, wonderful teacher who is creating many, many teachers around the world. So that there can be, he's creating teachers who can explain the scriptures to everybody. Hari Bol.
The question is, you talked about the austerity. I am talking in practical sense. The austerity is natural phenomena or product of bhakti. It's not artificial.
Yes.
Rup Sanatan, Jiva Goswami, they had natural. They didn't even notice that I am austere. It was noticed by Sarup Damodar and few others, not by them. But what practically we do, after hearing this thing, we go in ashram, you know, we start doing something which appear to be austere. That makes us happy, certainly. Oh, I am being austere. Hey, put the fan off. Hari Bol. Put the fan off. These fans are like helicopters. So, what I was talking, I get...
Yeah, you were telling that people do austerities after hearing about Rup Sanatan and everybody. They imitate.
Yes. So I was saying the austerity is byproduct of devotion. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Adhayatukam. Janati Asu. It will take birth immediately if we perform devotional service. So please, can you synchronize between artificial austerity and natural austerity?
Yeah. The natural austerity, you have given the definition already. Vairagyam, Jnanam. These two are the two children of Bhakti Mata, mother of Bhakti, naturally. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Bhakti Aloka that a sadhaka should watch himself moving in the ladder of spiritual life. And he has to find out in which stage am I right now. And at that stage, whatever is fit for him, he has to accept. What is nishedh, what is vidhi, you know, for each stage is different. Like for example, a boy may be chanting 4 rounds and eating onion garlic, you know. But when he comes to 16 rounds, he gives up onion garlic naturally. That becomes nishedh for him. Although as a 4-rounder, it may not be a serious thing. Similarly, when we advance in spiritual life, more and more, according to the stage, if somebody is in bhajana kriya, anarthana vritti, nishtha, ruchi, you know, one has to see and accept austerities that one is able to blissfully perform without torturing oneself. Because Krishna talks about torturing oneself in Bhagavad Gita also. He says, don't torture the super soul in your heart, he says, by performing artificial austerities, he says. Artificial austerities are those, either they are not given in the scriptures, that's one way. Or another thing is austerity is done to show off. Austerity is done for earning name and fame and glory from other people. Yeah. Like somebody wants to imitate Haridas Thakur by chanting more rounds. In our early days we used to think, 3 lakh names he chanted, maybe I should also try. Because we have over enthusiasm in the beginning, you know. Or sometimes we think, here there are 100 students, I want to make all of them chant 16 rounds today only. You know, sometimes our ambitions are too high, because sometimes we have over-enthusiasm. So that over-enthusiasm has to be tempered along with patience, dhairyam, utsaha nishaya dhairya, that is said. But after a devotee spends some years, 8, 10, 15 years in the movement, then they get too much dhairya. So patient that they have no utsah only. So the older devotees have to be given utsah and the newer devotees have to be given dhairya. We need a combination of both. So I was speaking about austerities. Why? Even after we spend many years, we also need to accept some austerities, because our Ambarish Maharaj, he wanted to take vanaprastha. Somebody asked him, "Sir, you are already a pure devotee. Why do you have to take vanaprastha? You and your wife are pure devotees. You continue to live as a king." He said, "No, no, no. I want to intensify my devotional service." So Prabhupada gives example there. A millionaire will never become satisfied with the money earned. He wants to earn more and more. He wants to make it 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, 100 million. Similarly, a pure devotee is greedy to surrender to Krishna more and more. He never thinks, now it is enough now. Similarly, as we grow, we have to think, now Bhishma Panchak is coming, or Kartik month is coming, or Janmashtami is coming, what can I do? How I can refine my consciousness? That's what Raghunath Das Goswami thought about. For refining our consciousness, we can make some Krishna conscious austerity plan according to our level of advancement, and not for, as you rightly said, you know, it was natural for them, and that internal inspiration also comes. Internal inspiration and guided by superiors, and whatever is permissible, sanctioned, that can be followed. Is it all right, Prabhu?
Something just came in my mind. Can we say safely that artificial austerity is a product of emotion, and natural austerity a product of devotion?
Yeah.
You get my point?
That. Yes, that is true. Artificial austerity is impulsive with some wrong motivations. Yeah. Thank you for the nice comment, Prabhu.
Sometimes we become too emotional. I have seen in ISKCON, devotee, they perform Chaturmasya, following Hari Bhakti Vilas as it is. But there are no more seen around anymore.
Yeah. And that is the proof, whether the austerity is steady or is it short-lived like a flower pot. Finished.
Yeah. So it's a product of emotion.
Yes.
Not devotion.
Yeah.
Devotion is like natural.
Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.